Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260, a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5 year long study of the New Testament. Today's broadcast, lesson number 2 of week number 48, studying Luke's Gospel. As we get started in today's study, these reminders. Our free materials are always available by clicking the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. For text updates, text IGHFREE, all one word, to this number, 55222. To study the Bible online, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org or click the online courses link at our website, internationalgospelhour.com. To study the Bible by mail, call us toll-free at this number, 1-855-IGH-6988 to receive a free 30-lesson Bible study series, or use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com to request that series. You can access all of our IGH 260 programs by going to internationalgospelhour.com/IGH260. A quick program update. In the new year, we will be transitioning the IGH 260 programs to another platform. The name will change from IGH 260 to the 260 Project, but it will be, pretty much anyway, a continuation, perhaps better, a restart, of what we began nearly a year ago in these broadcasts. But rather than being delivered through these radio programs, it will be delivered exclusively online. We hope that you will want to continue to be a part of this study with us. If that's the case, here's how you can find out more. First, visit the 260 Project website at the260project.org. That's the word the, followed by the number 260260, and the word project.org, the260project.org. Right now, it's just a holding page as we prepare to revamp and to update our platform. Second, at that page, the260project.org, you will find links for our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram pages, and a link to sign up for our weekly newsletter. We hope that you can join us there as we continue our study of God's Word in the new year. Let's get back into our study of Luke. But first this. Remember, most of the New Testament, indeed, most of Scripture as a whole, depicts God as saying, here's where you are, here's where you need to be. Move. That divine directive, that divine expectation, can be found throughout the New Testament. It's summed up in the words faith, repentance, baptism. Each one of those words entails a beginning place, a starting place that never ends. Biblical, saving faith, in order for it to be what God wants it to be, will always move in the direction that God wants it to go. That kind of faith, biblical saving faith, that kind of faith never stops. And repentance, the fruit of godly sorrow that leads to salvation, once repentance starts, repentance never stops. And then finally, baptism. Our death to self and our death to sin, and then alive to and alive for Christ, that initial obedience, baptism, has never been a one-time, a one-off, singular act of faithful obedience. Baptism has always inherently called for our complete and our ongoing, that is, our daily death to self and our daily surrender to Jesus from that point forward. We cannot be what God wants us to be and what God expects us to be without these modeling Jesus elements. Are you, are we, modeling Jesus today? We continue our study of the second generation of God's saving message, the transmission from Jesus the Son to the apostles. At the end of our last broadcast, we had returned to our study of John 17. We summarized the opening verses of Jesus' prayer to the Heavenly Father, John 17, verses 1 through 5, and we left off at this point. Let's consider what Jesus said next in that prayer. Jesus shifted from the Father-Son relationship to the Son-Apostles relationship. To be more exact, Jesus shifted from the Father-Son to the Father-Son-Apostles relationship. That threefold relationship, though developed in other ways, in other settings, relates here to the second generational transfer of the divine redemptive message from the Son to the apostles. Here's how Jesus explained it in John 17, verses 6 through 8. Jesus said, "I have manifested your name to the man whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you, for I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they believed that you sent me." What did Jesus say? Jesus said that, "I made your name, the Father's name, known to the apostles," verse 6. Jesus said, "You, the Father, gave them, the apostles, to me, Jesus, from the world," also verse 6. Jesus said, "They, the apostles, were yours, the Father's, and you, the Father, gave them to me, Jesus," again verse 6. And finally, Jesus said, "They, the apostles, have kept your word," that is, the Father's word. What comes next explains what Jesus said and what Jesus meant in verse 6, namely that the apostles had kept God's word. It answers some key questions by providing the answers to what's only assumed and not explicitly stated in the opening verses of this section, John 17. How did Jesus make the Father known to the apostles? As we continue reading, we will see that it was by means of revealing the Father's word, that is, the Father's message. That does not exclude Jesus' revelation of the Father by means of his own life, including his own miracles, his demeanor, his compassion, and his overall character. Those key Father-following traits are set forth, and they are heralded elsewhere. In brief, everything about Jesus' life declared the Father. That's the message that we find in John chapter 1, verse 18. How did the Father give the apostles to Jesus from the world? In what sense were they the Father's before they were given to Jesus? The point here was that everything in Jesus' ministry was God the Father directed. In turn, as Kustenberger observes, everything is traced back to the Father. He has assigned the work. He has given the people. He is the one to whom Jesus is about to return, and he is the recipient of Jesus' petition. End of citation. And finally, note what Jesus affirmed in John chapter 17, verse 6. The apostles kept the word of the Heavenly Father. The details of that are spelled out in the following verses. The apostles kept the word of the Father because the apostles realized, that is, they knew, that everything which the Father had given to Jesus was, in fact, from the Father. Verse 7. It was not just that Jesus claimed to speak the Father's words. It was not just that Jesus actually spoke the Father's words. Both of those could be true without the apostles believing and or knowing that. But this verse tells us that the apostles accepted it, that they knew it. They knew what Jesus said, and they knew that God was behind what Jesus said. As this context continues, some of the details about how they, the apostles, knew that the message Jesus delivered to them was from the Father are explained. The apostles knew these things because Jesus gave them the words that the Father relayed to him, verse 8, because they received those words, also verse 8, because they believed that Jesus came from the Father, again verse 8, and because they knew that Jesus came from the Father, verse 8. We cannot miss this. Jesus, in explaining how and why the apostles kept the Father's word, referenced the first two generational transfers of God's saving message in one brief remark. Hear what Jesus said, "For I have given to them the word which you have given me." Where did Jesus get his message? It was the word which you, the Heavenly Father, have given me. That's the first transmission of God's redemptive message. What did Jesus do with that message? Jesus answers, "I have given them, the apostles, the word." We will not take the time to fully discuss it, but what Jesus said about God's word, God's message in this verse, John 17, verse 8, was repeated later in the chapter. In John 17, 14, Jesus, once again, spoke of giving God's word to the apostles. There, he said, "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." Three verses later, Jesus prayed that the Father would sanctify the apostles by means of his message. That text, John 17:17, says, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." The apostles would be sanctified by God's truth because the word that Jesus declared is truth was given to them. They were not sanctified by that truth, by that word, just because God delivered it to Jesus. They were not sanctified by that word, that is, by that truth, just because Jesus delivered it to them. No, they were sanctified by the truth, by the word, because they received it, and because they believed it, and because they acted in harmony with what they received and believed. We have not introduced it to this point yet, but in another three verses, Jesus introduced the third generational transfer of God's message, the one going from the apostles to the next generation of believers. We see that third generational transfer in John 17:20, where the Spirit through John says, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word." Why did Jesus pray for the next generation of believers after the apostles? Jesus did so because, as we see in the Great Commission text in the Gospels, that the apostles were sent out into the world to preach the gospel, God's saving message, as they went. But we also see that Great Commission in this context as well. In the midst of his prayer to the Father, Jesus made reference to two commissions. The first one was his own, Jesus' own mission to preach, teach, and heal during the course of his earthly ministry. And the second was the Great Commission given to the apostles. To be sure, Jesus had earlier commissioned the apostles to go to the house of Israel in what we often refer to as the limited commission. See, for example, Matthew chapter 10, starting in verse 1. But this one, this commission, as the text tells us, was worldwide and not just to the nation of Israel. We see that Jesus' mission, apostles' mission message in John 17:8. "As you, the Father, sent me, Jesus, into the world, I, the Son, also have sent them, the apostles, into the world." This text not only reveals the two missions, the mission of Christ and the Great Commission that Jesus gave to the apostles, it also, yet again, references in this context the first two generational transmissions of God's good news. In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of Luke's Gospel. This reminder as we close, to begin our free, self-paced online Bible study, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.